Stephen Hawking, a few weeks ago, caused quite a stir and sensation when he basically said there is extraterrestrial life out there, but we better not contact them. We better not let them know we're here. You never know what could happen. What do you think of that?
Well, I think they were very foolish remarks. The first thing is that nobody knows whether there is any life beyond Earth, let alone intelligent life. We have no way of computing the odds. So he was making the statement that he thought the universe is so vast, there must be life out there somewhere. A lot of people say that, but it's simply a fallacious argument because we have no theory of life's origin. If we knew what the mechanism was that turned non-life into life, we could have a go at working out the odds. But we don't know how it happened, and so it could quite likely have been an accident that was so improbable it would have happened only once in the observable universe, or the other extreme, it could be something that is pretty much likely given Earth-like conditions, and we have no idea which is the case. And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that the claim that the aliens might want to come here and use the resources of our planet, and therefore we better avoid contact. Well, if they're after our planet, they could have taken it at any time in the last 4.5 billion years. What's keeping them? So, you know, I just don't think those sorts of arguments stack up, frankly.
There seems to be at this point, Paul, an incredible popularity searching for aliens. History Channel continues to do documentaries. Programs such as ours are very popular when we do stories of ETs and UFO possibilities. Even people like Stephen Hawking and yourself included with this incredible work, The Eerie Silence. What is causing the popularity today?
I'm really very mystified by it because I was interested in this stuff 50 years ago when the search for extraterrestrial intelligence began. I wrote the book because it's the 50th anniversary of the first SETI exercise. And in those days, it was considered pretty ridiculous. One might as well have expressed a belief in fairies. The prevailing view among scientists was that life is a freak event unique to Earth, that there is no life beyond Earth and certainly no intelligent life. It's a complete waste of time to think about it and to look for it. And now the pendulum has swung the other way, and as you correctly point out, there seems to be a surge of interest in the idea of extraterrestrial intelligent life. It's now okay to talk about ET. And I've thought long and hard about this, and the scientific facts haven't changed. The dominating fact is how did life get started in the first place? We're no further forward now than we were 50 years ago, just that the sentiment has changed. So this is purely fashion, I think. I don't think there's any scientific basis. It's not that we can now say, because of what we discovered in the last few years, we can now be pretty sure that there is life out there, whereas in the past we couldn't. Frankly, we don't know a great deal more about the key factors. So it's just fashion, I think.
Paul, if it were proven ever that we were the only ones in this vast universe, all these billions of stars and planetary systems that could be out there, would it surprise you if we were all alone?
It wouldn't surprise me at all, because life is such an incredible thing that even the most simplest living thing that we know is already so stupendously complex that if it arose from a series of chemical accidents, self-assembly of the building blocks, then the odds against it may be enormous, and it will have happened only once, even in a universe as vast as the one we observe. We can easily do the numbers. There are about 1 followed by 21, 22 zeros, potential Earth-like planets within the volume of the universe that we can access. And that's a very big number, but it's a tiny number compared to the odds of shuffling molecular building blocks into the right sort of shape and arrangement. But we don't know, of course, that that's the way that life did begin. It may be it was a result of some self-organizing chemistry, which is really quite likely, but it's only guesswork because we have no idea what the processes were. There are lots of possibilities. It's not that we can't imagine how it could happen. We can imagine all sorts of ways in which it could happen. But seeing as we don't know which way, it's impossible to put the numbers in. So it's very likely that it could be an incredibly improbable accident, in which case we would be alone in the universe. And that is a sobering thought. I hope it's not right. I really would like to believe that we live in a universe teeming with life. But I'm a scientist, and we have to deal with the facts, not with sentiment.
SETI, you mentioned it, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They are searching for life, listening for signals. Radio transmissions, do you think that's the right way to go?
Well, it's the only way that's been tried systematically so far, and I'm a well-wisher. I give them a pat on the back. It's 50 years with nothing to show for it but an eerie silence, just the hiss and crackle of static from outer space. The SETI astronomers, and it's a small band of them, are very dedicated, and they say, well, give us a chance. It's a needle in a haystack search. You know, another 50 years might do it. But meanwhile, I feel that we should greatly extend the search for ET beyond using radio telescopes. We should be looking for all sorts of possible ways. Any signature of technology that might show up would do. It would answer the question, are we alone in the universe, which is the key thing we're after. We don't have to receive a message or anything of that sort. We merely have to see some sort of sign, some technological footprint that shows that there's something going on out there in the galaxy that has no natural explanation. And that would be enough. It would be a truly momentous discovery to just say that.
And, Paul, you do recommend in the eerie silence to go out there, to expand the search, to do whatever we have to do to find life, don't you?
Yes, and I really must pull you up on this idea of finding life. We're talking about intelligence. We're not talking about finding life. The subject of astrobiology is a major international subject. It's taught in universities now. And the search for life beyond Earth is proceeding on many fronts. Our greatest hope is perhaps finding microbes on Mars. And we have to distinguish that from SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is part, in a way, it's a part of the search for life. But it's really a much smaller, much more speculative enterprise that the vast majority of scientists who are searching for life beyond Earth, the astrobiologists, are much more concerned with things like sending spacecraft to Europa in case there's some sort of microbial life beneath the ice or something of that sort. So these are really two ends of a very long spectrum. And so searching for extraterrestrial intelligence is something that has been done almost entirely by looking for what are called narrow-band radio signals, using radio telescopes to sweep the skies in the hope that there's some sort of message from ET coming our way. So far, nothing, of course, has been heard. And then the question is, can we extend this search beyond that rather limited strategy and find other ways for looking for ET? That's what interests me.